This week on the Country There's Music Media Podcast.
There's a man with a broad smile and a man with a scowl. And we want the guy with the smile to have ideologies that align with ours. But that doesn't make it so. Both of these men flew to Washington, D.C. 1 week after a riot. And while the president was being impeached, they accepted an award. Neither one tried to hide it. They were just both let down by a crumbling White House PR team. And maybe a publicist who wanted nothing to do with this. But one of these guys went to D.C. because it was an honor. The other went because a man had something that belonged to him. Welcome to the Country Music Media Podcast. My name is Billy Dukes. Find me on Twitter at Billy Dukes. Email me at billydukes@gmail.com to join the conversation. And I really do appreciate the conversation. Some wonderful feedback from Monday's episode. An interview with Rolling Stone's Jonathan Bernstein. And we went deep into the art of the album review. I know that's not for everybody. Albums aren't for everybody. But I think there is something to them, and I think we might have hit the nail on the head. Jonathan may have hit the nail on the head, not only with regards to Morgan Wallen's new album, but the future of album reviews. Kelly Sutton will join the show on Monday. If you know Kelly, she's kind of the queen of country music media in Nashville. She's had a number of different jobs. She's been on a number of different stages and all over television, not only locally, but nationally. During the pandemic, she lost her job, and she was forced to find some new work, kind of blaze her own trail, and she's really done a nice job of that. I'm excited to talk to Kelly about her journey, what she's learned, the good and the bad of the past year for her. Big thanks if you're returning to the podcast for a new episode, and if this is your very first time, really appreciate that as well. Take a listen, and then rate and review the podcast, and subscribe as well so you don't miss upcoming episodes. A lot going on in country music to start 2021. A lot. And country music crossed into politics in really some pretty significant ways last week when two of country music stars, a Hall of Fame artist and a future Hall of Fame artist, went to the White House to accept the Medal of Arts from President Trump. I know, most people listening probably have a strong opinion on the former president, and I'm not here to try to convince you otherwise. I'm not going to try to knock you off that soapbox or the pedestal or however you want to be. More about common sense and finding common ground. And I think if you've listened to past episodes of this podcast, you've heard that. But anyway, Toby Keith and Ricky Skaggs, they rolled up, got those medals. It was sort of a surprise secret ceremony that was really kind of bizarre in a lot of ways that you probably didn't realize. And I'm going to get to that. But I am here to tell you that we got the reaction and the response to this all wrong. The anger at these men, or at least towards one of these men, was really misguided. The assumptions were kind of baseless, and we were fooled by appearances or our own ingrained ideas of what justice should look like. We got caught in a two-decade deep echo chamber. It's okay to be mad at these men. It's okay to be mad at Toby Keith and Ricky Skaggs if you think that they shouldn't have accepted that award from Donald Trump, especially after the riots at the U.S. Capitol early in January. Be mad, but be mad at both of them equally, because by and large, people were a lot more critical of Toby Keith, and Ricky Skaggs got something of a free pass here because he looks like the world's coolest grandpa, and he seems like an all-around nice guy. I'm here to tell you that if you are of the liberal mind, you especially got this wrong. You got fooled. On social media, there was a lot of reactions that sounded like, yep, expected that from Toby. Oh, but come on, Ricky. What are you doing? Ricky was being Ricky. You know, only one of these guys said that President Trump's term in office was prophetic. And it wasn't the guy who said he'd put a boot in your ass. But let's back up a second. I want to address this idea of who is and who isn't a nice guy, because I've been around Toby Keith. I've talked to him several times on the phone, in person. I think I've talked to Ricky Skaggs, too. Honestly, I can't totally recall, but I've watched him be interviewed. You ever have this? It's one of those situations where someone else's reality kind of starts to become your own. You know, you hear a story, and then you think about that story so much that you start forgetting you weren't actually there in the first place. My wife called me out on this once, and there's a name for it. Malcolm Gladwell, he did a whole episode early on in his Revisionist History podcast about this phenomenon. Essentially, it's what took NBC newsman Brian Williams down. He said he was on this jet fighter airplane taking fire, and really he wasn't. You know, this is what happened here. It's a thing. So that's where Ricky and I stand. But in either case, I really enjoyed being around him, or at least watching him. Really seems like a solid character. People love him. He is really charming. He has a great interview. He has good stories. He's super talented, smiles, laughs with a belly that shakes like a bowl full of jelly. Toby, on site, is the opposite of this. He's got this perma scowl. If he was a woman, we would say he had resting bee face. Toby doesn't come across as very affable at all. You know, his music's really aggressive with the, how do you like me now, and all that. He really seems not to give a damn. And all this is true. But that's not an indicator as to if he's as nice of a guy as Ricky Skaggs. I'm here to tell you that in my experience, Toby absolutely is just as nice. Really engaged in interviews. He hustles for his fans and meet and greets. He offers journalists drinks on his tour bus when they come to interview him. I might have shared a Jack and Coke with Toby Keith. Like, do you have like a surly uncle in your family? That's Toby Keith. He doesn't bounce around. He doesn't laugh out loud or any of that stuff. But that doesn't mean he's a bad guy. So these are the perceptions of the both of them. This is what we brought with us into the conversation earlier this month. And I think, too, if you're old enough, Toby's perception is probably affected by the Dixie Chicks controversy from 2002-2003. I think a lot of people forget with that is that Natalie Maines started the whole thing when she said that one of Toby's songs was jingoistic. And then Toby ended it when his crew or a band member had a kid that was pretty or sick or something, and he realized the whole thing was pretty foolish. Toby and Natalie Maines, kind of the same person in a lot of ways, but some other time. So all this against this backdrop, and Toby goes to Washington, D.C., as does Ricky. And I want to point out one other thing here before I get into the personal politics. Ricky was supposed to get this award early in 2020. Over a year ago. I'm not 100% sure that the same was true for Toby Keith, but I'd bet it was. The pandemic canceled that ceremony, pushed it to early 2021. And this matters because it kills this narrative that Donald Trump, on his way out of office, was trying to fire up his voter base by giving them some raw meat to chew on. That's not what it was. This was a make-good. At least it was for Ricky. And the reason I don't know about Toby is because his publicist just wanted nothing to do with this whole conversation. You might have seen the response in media outlets that was something along the lines of Toby's not going to comment. That's not what it was. It wasn't Toby's not going to comment. It was a publicist saying, I'm not going to comment. Really kind of strange. Really pretty unhelpful. Especially in contrast to Ricky's publicist, who owned it and eventually gave me all of this information about Ricky for Taste of Country. I think everyone kind of expected there would be more coming from the White House, maybe some sort of press release, but that never got sent. So everyone, like all five of the honorees, were sort of in this limbo. Very strange. Politically speaking, though, this move was actually on brand for both men, but for really different reasons. Toby, because he doesn't really get political. And I know it's kind of jarring to hear that, but hear me out here. Name a time when Toby got overtly political. And I don't mean patriotic, and I don't mean supporting the troops. I mean like he stumped and put his name behind a candidate or spoke up for an important social cause. You never heard Toby talking about, he's not even really an outwardly vocal gun rights guy, even though he is a big gun rights guy. He's not like, like John Rich is like that. He's got pro-troop songs. He's definitely pro-America. He played Donald Trump's inauguration, but you can make an argument that that's not really political. Garth Brooks is certainly trying to make that argument. He played the Joe Biden inauguration and said it wasn't political, so maybe we can say the same for Toby. The one case people like to make with Toby in politics is this alleged story in Rolling Stone where actor Ethan Hawke wrote from experience at Willie Nelson's 70th birthday party. Ethan Hawke said that Toby allegedly told Kris Kristofferson to keep all of his lefty crap off the stage that night. They almost got into a fight. That's the story. It kind of recirculated this week. And there's a lot of issues with this story. First and foremost being that Toby was never really truly identified. They used kind of a pseudonym for him. And the second being that it was Ethan Hawke, who's an actor, not a journalist. Also, the story, when Ethan finally told it, was like 6 years after the events. Toby denied the whole thing really, really fiercely. In fact, he cursed out one Nashville-based reporter who sunk his teeth into it, which wasn't a good look for Toby at all. Kris Kristofferson said he didn't remember it. And if you want to go down a fascinating rabbit hole about all this, Google it. There was this blowout at the ACM Awards that I referred to with regards to the Tennessean reporter. I mean, it's spicy. I wish I had that to cover today at Taste of Country. Woo-wee. Get a lot of mileage out of that. I don't think Toby's chasing red or blue. I think Toby's chasing green. Because think about it. He once said he was a registered Democrat. And people bring this up. Here's the real story behind that, because I think it gets sort of muddy. It dates back to 2008 with an interview Toby did with CMT. I couldn't find that interview, but in 2016, he did tell the Chicago Tribune that he was a registered Democrat until they disavowed him because he became so pro-troop. Toby's father was a lifelong Democrat. So after all this, Toby became an independent. And then about a year later in 2017, Emily Yar of the Washington Post, who's been a guest on this podcast before, she did a profile on Toby, during which she talked to Bobby Pinson, who is one of Toby's favorite writers. They're friends. They're close. Bobby said that Toby is straight down the middle. He's a, quote, Toby-crat, or a Toby-can, like Democrat, Republican, you know, that kind of thing. Quote, he is just a textbook independent, from his music to his business to his politics. He doesn't set out to hit a nerve, Pinson said, adding that people are projecting when they criticize Keith for playing at Trump's inauguration. They're commenting on Toby's performance based on their own political views, not Toby's. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes to everything that Bobby Pinson said right there, because that shoe fits everything we're talking about today as well. And I'm going to link to Emily Yar's article. It's about it's 4 or 5 years old now, and as well as the Chicago Tribune article. You can find it at thecountrymediapodcast.com, the website. Toby don't care. Got a stage? Got some money? Toby's going to be there. Ricky Skaggs, on the other hand, he's pretty far right with his views and his opinions. He did an interview with a publication called The Gospel Herald that ran just days before President Trump was elected, in which he basically said that abortion was his big voting issue. That was the big thing for Ricky. And I think a lot of voters have this, you know, more than we like to think. There's one thing that they vote on and accept the rest, for better or for worse. Ricky is very pro-life. Cool. That's his right. Definitely not the place to get into all that. He said, quote, I love Trump's enthusiasm and his fighting spirit. He's not going to let anyone bulldoze over him because he's a bulldozer himself. Mr. Trump is someone who tears down and rebuilds. I believe Donald Trump is the right person in the right place and that it's prophetic. Earlier in that same piece, he said he thought that Donald Trump would, quote, uphold the most godly principles, but he conceded that the man is no saint. That's Ricky Skaggs. Donald Trump was Ricky Skaggs' boy, just as much as he is John Rich's or Travis Tritt's. Ricky owned this thing, which I have to admire, because these are divisive times right now, and Ricky's a pretty smart man. There's a man with a broad smile and a man with a scowl, and we want the guy with the smile to have ideologies that align with ours, but that doesn't make it so. Both of these men flew to Washington, D.C. 1 week after a riot, and while the president was being impeached, they accepted an award. The kind of award so many people had turned down. Neither one tried to hide it. They were just both let down by a crumbling White House PR team, and maybe a publicist who wanted nothing to do with this. Now, there's a picture of Toby next to Donald Trump. He's not hiding. But one of these guys went to D.C. because it was an honor. The other went because a man had something that belonged to him. So now, can you say I expected this from Toby Keith? But come on, Ricky. You know, the opposite is true. If you do your homework, you see the opposite is true. And you know what? If Joe Biden wanted to give Toby an award, he'd be there for that too. By the numbers this week, I hope you enjoy hearing Morgan Wallen's name. He's at number one on the albums list with Dangerous. Big debut week, biggest country debut in 2 years, in fact. Luke Combs' latest and Barry Gibbon Friends come in at number 2 and 3. Streaming finds Morgan Wallen's Wasted on You on top, followed by his song Somebody's Problem. Actually, the top 9 songs are all from the Dangerous album on the streaming side. On sales, it's Wasted on You. That's ahead of Mitch Rozelle in 2020 and Morgan Wallen's song Sand in My Boots. Most added at country radio is Tim McGraw and Tyler Hubbard with Undivided. Number 1 airplay song goes to Luke Combs and Better Together. And when you add all these figures together, you get the new number 1 hot country song, Wasted on You by Morgan Wallen. Big thanks to Jonathan Bernstein for joining me earlier this week to talk about the art of the album reviews. And thanks to Kelly Sutton, who will be joining me on Monday's episode. Kelly, the queen of country media, and she now has a new interview series that you should know about. Plus, how does she view this industry after being in Nashville for 20 years and, yeah, getting fired a couple of times? We'll go there. Thanks to Billboard for the charts, Taste of Country for the gig, Darlene. She's my biggest fan on Instagram, at SiriusJournalist. I appreciate all those shares. Rate me, review me like my life depends on it, and then subscribe like this show is the air in your lungs. Too much? I'm Billy Dukes and look forward to carrying on this conversation on Twitter at Billy Dukes or at email billydukes@gmail.com. Highlights will come next week during episode 27 of the Country Music Media Podcast.